the Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday. Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art. Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod.
Escape pod ready.
October 11th.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1958, just 11 days after officially being formed, NASA launched its first space probe, Pioneer 1. Its 43-hour flight didn't take it to the moon, however. It fell back into Earth's atmosphere and burned up. Before its premature end, Pioneer did manage to conduct the first measurements of micrometeoroid impacts in space. In 1968, the quest for the moon was back on track. The first manned Apollo mission to space, Apollo 7, lifted off.
21 seconds and counting, we have completed our power transfer. The Saturn 1B launch vehicle, which now weighs 1.3 million pounds, is ready to go. Coming up on the 10-second mark. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. We have ignition. Commit liftoff. We have liftoff. This is launch control. We have cleared the tower.
Roger, tower clear. 12 seconds out and the roll program has commenced.
With astronauts Wally Schirra, Walt Cunningham, and Don Isley aboard, the first Apollo mission went no further than Earth orbit, but the newly redesigned command and service modules checked out with flying colors, even if the crew didn't.
Apollo 7 Houston, we're back with you.
Reading a 5 square, Jack. Everything came out hunky-dory.
Okay, we lost you there for about 2 minutes.
Left in a foul mood by a head cold that quickly spread to all three men, the Apollo 7 crew was less than diplomatic when dealing with ground controllers, trying to hold them to their tightly scheduled mission plan. None of the Apollo 7 crew ever flew in space again. In 1969, the first Soviet space mission since the Apollo 11 moon landing took off, with Soyuz 6 intended to participate in a three-way feat of orbital rendezvous and docking with two other manned Soyuz capsules. But the docking didn't happen as planned, so the expensive triple mission instead turned into an example of how many flights Soviet ground controllers could keep up with at once. Soyuz 6 was in orbit for 5 days. In 2000, it was the last call before the ISS was open for business.
We have a go from engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and liftoff of Discovery, making shuttle history and building our future in space.
Houston now controlling.
Houston. Roger, roll, Discovery.
Space Shuttle Discovery took to the sky for the 100th launch of an American shuttle and the last maintenance mission before the International Space Station was manned full-time. The first support structures that would eventually hold the station's giant solar panels were bolted into place on this mission. Born on this day in 1960, Nicola Bryant, who played the Sixth Doctor's companion, Perry, on Doctor Who.
Suddenly feel conspicuous.
Not surprised in that coat.
Now, it's more a question of having organized a surprise party and forgotten who it's for.
Look, Doctor, since you regenerated, it's as though your memory's been put through the meat grinder. I mean, it's all there, but in a pile of unrelated bits and pieces.
That's a horrible simile.
It's true, though. In the past couple of days, you've called me Tegan, Zoe, Susan. On one occasion, you even referred to me as Jamie.
Merely slips of the tongue.
I'd rather think they're slips of the mind.
Joan Cusack was born today in 1962. Actor Sean Patrick Flannery, one of the faces of young Indiana Jones, was born today in 1965. But in 1964, a man destined for the satellite of love was born, comedian Michael J. Nelson.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike. Welcome to the satellite of love and this week's experiment. I'm a little out of breath. Just hold on a second. The bots have been running me through a heap of bad movies, kind of in training for this week's actual experiment.
Come on, Mike, we haven't got all day. The proverbial hour is nigh, if you know what I mean.
I know, training's been a little rigorous on you, new boy, but dig down deep, buddy.
Yeah, because compared to today's experiment, the Beast of Yucca Flat was just a cakewalk.
I only hope I can do it.
Ah, buck up, new meat.
Thanks, Tom.
That's Crow.
Right.
Luke Perry, star of the post-apocalyptic series Jeremiah, was born in 1965. Born today in 1972, actress Claudia Black of Farscape and Stargate fame.
That's another ship.
Doesn't know we're here. Debris is blocking their scan.
Pilot, stay behind the debris.
It's scanning? That ship is scanning. Wait. Does that mean it's...
Peacekeeper. To scout ship, Crace's eyes and ears. And claws. It's a marauder. Five-man crew, highest level of training, success measured by body count.
Buffy's Michelle Trachtenberg was born in 1985. Composer Neil Hefti, who created the Batman theme song we all know and love from the 60s, died today in 2008. On this day, the Enterprise was taken over by a bunch of space orphans and their friendly angel.
Friends, we have reached a moment of crisis. The enemy have discovered our operation, but they are too late. They no longer control the ship. We do. We shall prevail. They will take us any place we desire. So, back to your stations. Maintain your controls. If resistance mounts, call upon their beasts. Their beast will serve us well. The fear in each one of them is the beast which will consume him. Remember how it was on Triactus? If they resist, so shall it be on the Enterprise.
The Star Trek episode And the Children Shall Lead premiered today in 1968, and among its young guest stars were several of the future stars of the 70s sci-fi kids show Space Academy. In 1973, Atari released its fourth arcade video game, which also happened to be the first video maze game. Gotcha! In 1979, Doctor Who fans suddenly had a weekly fix of the Time Lord that didn't arrive on TV, with the first issue of Doctor Who Weekly, which would eventually become Doctor Who Magazine. In 1988, it was a gender bender for Red Dwarf.
So where's the other rumour in list, eh?
Some of you are not aliens.
Hi.
How do you do?
How do you do?
So you must be list, eh?
And you are too.
Hope so.
You must be rumour. So am I.
Splendid. Arnold.
Harley.
Indeedy.
And in 1995, a telepath with a familiar face arrived on Babylon 5 with a warning.
Our agent found out about a secret Psi-Corps program. A sleeper program. They bring someone in and work them over with drugs and deep scans to create a new personality. A personality suited to their needs. This personality is then submerged so far into the subconscious that it won't show up. Even on a deep scan. But it's always there. Watching, listening, spying. Until the day the password is sent telepathically. It can't be just spoken. It has to be sent directly into the brain. At that moment, the real personality is destroyed. And the implanted one takes control. Permanently.
So until then, someone could be a spy and not even know it.
Correct.
In 2013, some of the missing history of 1960s Doctor Who was recovered, and the BBC made 9 recovered Patrick Troughton episodes available to the show's fans immediately.
9 missing episodes featuring the second Doctor, Patrick Troughton, dating back to the 1960s, have been found in Nigeria.
Unseen since its first broadcast in 1968.
We've been here so long.
Yes, of course we will, Victoria. You see, whatever's holding us must let go sometime.
One of 9 rediscovered Patrick Troughton episodes. The Doctor's companions were played by Fraser Hines and Deborah Watling.
Hold tight.
When I first saw it today on the big screen after 45 years, it was quite emotional.
Actually, I haven't seen that story since it went out live.
Mm.
45 years ago, that was quite scary.
Up until now, 106 episodes were thought to be lost. This haul of 9 represents the single biggest discovery of previously missing episodes in the last 25 years.
Prior to the discovery of missing episodes in Northern Africa, where the episodes had been shown as recently as the early 70s, only one episode of both Enemy of the World and The Web of Fear remained. Now, only episode 3 of Web of Fear was missing, and both stories were released digitally immediately after the announcement and on DVD at a later date. And the search for more missing episodes of Doctor Who continued. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's expanded guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, 4.1 second edition, is now available. Over 400 pages catching you up on the time-traveling mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can get it in print or ebook form. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com's store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and prone to spiral pain.